Blog Talk Radio.
Got a roster dilemma? There's nobody better to ask than FantasyGuru.com. Here are Bo Wolf and Joe Dolan and the Ask Guru Podcast.
Welcome aboard to the Ask Guru Podcast for FantasyGuru.com. I'm Bo Wolf alongside FantasyGuru.com Managing Editor Joe Dolan. Joe, and we'll start as I start every week. How did your teams do this week? Nine teams. What was your record?
I had a very good week, Bo. I believe I went 7-2. And I finally, unfortunately for you, got off the schneid in the FantasyGuru.com Dynasty League.
And you took me down handily.
I picked up my first win of the year. Now, this is a league that uses victory points, meaning you get a victory point for a matchup win, but also for being one of the top six scorers in the 12-man league. So I actually like this format, Bo, and I wish there was a way to integrate that on some of the free sites for people. But our friends over at My Fantasy League do a phenomenal job with the victory points. It's just so much more fair than some other formats. I got a buddy in another league that I'm in, which is an auction league, probably the league I care about the most because it's the most competitive league I'm in. He's second in scoring and 11th in standings. And it really sucks for him. It really does. I mean, it's not fair. But I had a very good week. An auction league that I care very much about, which has some guru staffers and friends of the staff, SiriusXM staff. It's one of those leagues, Bo, where two teams are 4-2 to lead the league. I believe we have 8 at 3-3. One's 2-4 and one's 1-5. It's like it's an absurdly competitive league and nobody's out of it at this point. And that's fun. That's why I like doing auctions. It always just seems like in auctions, the teams are just a little bit more balanced.
Go ahead.
It's just very interesting. It's very interesting. They're more balanced, but they're built differently, if that makes sense. Like you'll have a team that's the stars and scrubs that any given week can put 180 on you, and other weeks will put 90 on you, just depending on how their stars perform. So I always tell people, if you're getting in, if you want a way to spice up fantasy, do an auction. It's so much fun. That's how I haven't done a snake baseball draft in years. And the only fantasy basketball league I'm in is an auction. It's just the most fun way to draft.
I do have one snake fantasy basketball draft, but that is my favorite league, and that is only rookies and sophomores. So the pool is so shallow that there would be no sense in making it an auction. I was going to say that in probably my favorite league, an auction league, not to brag, but I am 6-0, but it goes 6-0, 5-1, and then there are 5 3-3 teams and 5 2-4 teams. So I think you're right about sort of the talent being spread in different ways in auctions. But you talk about, and I do like the victory points in the Dynasty League. But I've been thinking about this throughout the season, and I want to pitch on something, okay? This is my way to fix fantasy football, not that it needs fixing. But it strikes me as a little bit unfair in terms of equating the action on the field, what you get rewarded for on the field versus in fantasy when you do PPR. Because obviously it makes the wide receiver position more important than the running back position. We can agree on this, yes?
I can agree with the concept. I will say it makes pass-catching running backs a lot more important than running backs who don't catch passes.
Right, but in the NFL, yards are yards. Yards are equal, right?
Okay, yes.
But I also understand the allure of PPR because it gives you something else to root for in the course of a game. It makes it fun. But what if there was a way to reward both running backs and wide receivers equally in a way that they are actually rewarded during the game? Joe, my proposal is instead of PPR, point per first down.
You know something? We had Martellus Bennett on our radio program. And Martellus Bennett said, I don't do fantasy. I don't like the focus on numbers. He says, my most important stat, in my opinion, outside of touchdowns, is first downs. And it is possible to score first downs. I have seen it in fantasy. It's not mainstream, Bo, but it would be easy enough to track. You can do it at myfantasyleague.com. I'm not sure if you can do it on the free sites. Yes, you can. I'm not sure if you could do it on the free sites, but I agree with you. I think that is a reasonable proposal. And
that way we're rewarding what is important.
And I've been thinking in other ways to, like, improve fantasy football. Or make it more fair, make it less fluky. And I was thinking about LeGarrette Blount in this instance. And yeah. I will flat out tell you LeGarrette Blount's one of my least favorite fantasy players in that I don't think he's any good, but he's just a gameplay-dependent, game-flow-dependent, game-plan-dependent player. And fortunately, this year it's been relatively easy to predict when LeGarrette Blount is going to have a big game, at least so far. He had one against the Colts and one against the Jaguars. But I was thinking, Bo, we have these leagues that lessen the impact of passing touchdowns. We have four-point passing touchdown leagues. My proposal is, why don't we lessen the impact of all touchdowns in fantasy?
Yeah.
Why? I like it. Why aren't all touchdowns 4 points? Why aren't passing touchdowns 3 and other touchdowns 4? Simply because nothing is worse than your guy driving your team down the field and somebody coming in and vulturing the touchdown. I'll never forget it. Last year, I think Arizona was playing Denver. I think that was the game. Andre Ellington gained literally every yard of an 80-yard drive, and they took him out at the one-yard line, and Stephon Taylor scored a touchdown. It was like one of the most egregiously bad luck fantasy things I had ever seen. He picked up every single yard, and then Stephon Taylor came in and pushed in the touchdown and essentially had almost as many points on that drive as Ellington did. And I was thinking, you know what? What if you just lessen the impact of touchdowns in general, or increase the impact of yardage, whatever the case. I'm not a huge fan of touchdowns being such a major part. I play like that because everybody does. 6 points for a touchdown, 4 points for a passing touchdown. But I almost wonder if I can propose a way for – you still get rewarded if you score touchdowns, but it's just not as much.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Rudolph catches 2 passes for 9 yards and a touchdown, and he scores more points than Le'Veon Bell, who has 88 yards rushing. Is that equitable?
Right.
Probably not.
No, it's just – look, there is a lot of luck involved in fantasy football. Of course I believe it's a game of skill. But, you know, actual football is a game of skill, Bo, and there's a lot of luck involved in actual football. I'm a huge baseball fan. You're a big baseball fan. I don't know if there's a – sport in the world that has more luck involved in it than baseball. But
it's true.
If you can lessen the impact of luck, I think that's what you really want to end up doing.
If nothing else, my proposal to the listener is to not necessarily go with the standard scoring rules and to examine your league's rules and figure out a way that you can make it so at least you got a little something different going on than the rest of the flow.
Absolutely.
Don't follow the herd, yeah,
it's more fun. And I have a league, that auction league I was discussing, that's kind of my baby. That's like my experimental one. The things that I really want the fantasy industry to adopt, I'm trying to do in that. And this year, I made a dictatorial decision. I eliminated kickers. And I said, we are not voting on this. I am taking them out, and we are not going to use them. And, of course, I had some blowback. But I don't think nobody's come up to me and said, you know what, man, I really miss kickers in that league. You just don't have to worry about it.
I forget where I saw this suggestion, but I did see it elsewhere. What about just rolling kickers into the defense? And so field goals, you get added 3 points to the defense. It's part of special teams.
I'm fine with that, too. Or just like getting 1 point for a field goal or something. Just like right. If they kick a field goal, you get 1 point. There's so many things you can do. And at this point, you know, you start to understand some guys are just having worse luck than others. Everybody, you're a lot of people. I get questions all the time. I'm 1-5 and I'm 3rd in scoring. What do I do? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Wait till next year. Nothing you can do.
Right. Okay, let's get to some of the news from the weekend, Joe. Let's talk about the biggest performance in terms of pleasant surprises, and that was the return of Martavis Bryant, 8 for 137 and 2 touchdowns, 32.5 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. What did you make of that? And obviously, all the more impressive that it came with Michael Vick and Landry Jones, a quarterback, and not Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, it was pretty much all Landry Jones. I think, did Michael Vick leave with one passing yard? I'm pretty sure he did. Let me get a look on Michael Vick's line.
I'll look. I'll find it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I found it already. Three of 8 for 6 yards. Oh, my Lord. Here's the deal with Martavis Bryant. If it's Landry Jones, I'm a little hesitant, but I'm probably starting him knowing that this is possible. And
yeah, I mean, I had been waiting for Martavis Bryant to return in one of my favorite leagues, and I ended up not playing him. I ended up picking up Michael Floyd and playing him at the flex, which worked out okay. But I missed out on the monster game from Martavis Bryant just because it was Michael Vick, and Michael Vick hasn't. I mean, Antonio Brown owners were considering benching him with Michael Vick at quarterback. How could I start Martavis Bryant? But he will not be on my bench any longer.
Well, here's the deal. And if you benched Martavis Bryant this week and you benched him because of Michael Vick, well, turns out you were right. Michael Vick threw for 6 yards.
Right.
And Landry Jones came into the game, and that's when Martavis Bryant exploded. He had the long touchdown, but there was some horrendous tackling by the Cardinals on the long touchdown. So good individual play by Martavis Bryant. But, I mean, there was some bad tackling. He made a spectacular catch on his first touchdown when he got his butt down in bounds, and one butt counts as 2 feet. So
that's what I always say.
Very popular saying. Martavis Bryant, to me, very unlikely you have three better receivers on your fantasy team. If you do, you're in phenomenal shape. I've gotten some trade questions with Martavis Bryant. As a matter of fact, we might get some in the Ask Guru segment of this podcast. And I'm like, I think he's a guy you could consider trading. I do think there is going to be a little bit less consistency than you would like from Martavis Bryant. But the fact that he did this without Ben Roethlisberger is probably the best sign, in my opinion, for his value going forward. And I think Ben Roethlisberger could be back as soon as this week. So that's a very good thing. If you held on to Martavis Bryant, congratulations.
I agree with you, and let's transition to the quarterback situation for the Steelers, that it does seem like there's a good chance that Ben returns this week. Mike Tomlin saying that the team is proceeding as if it will be Landry Jones at quarterback, but Roethlisberger is going to test that knee on Wednesday and throughout the week to see if he's ready to go. They don't have to rush him back because Landry Jones did play well. It's not a division game. They're going to Kansas City. But I would not be surprised if Ben is back this week. What do you make of the rest of the cast of characters in the Steelers offense with this situation in flux?
Man, I got to admit this, and I'm sorry to anybody if I gave you advice along these lines. I have had a very, very difficult time sitting Antonio Brown, even with the struggles of Michael Vick, and unfortunately, it hasn't turned out well. He hasn't had a single double-digit fantasy point game since Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. However, Le'Veon Bell, look, he's still running well. This was unfortunately the first game of his career when he didn't have a catch, which is bad news for his fantasy value. Martavis Bryant came through for you. Antonio Brown not coming through for you. I'm probably still sucking it up. All these guys are benchable with the exception of Bell. Bell is not benchable if you have other options. That said, the advantage the Steelers have, you said Mike Tomlin saying, you know what, we're operating as if Landry Jones is the quarterback. The advantage they have is they can do that. And the reason they can do that is I don't think Ben Roethlisberger needs to practice, Bo. He's been there forever. He knows the offense. He's comfortable with the receivers. So they're in the rare spot where they have a quarterback that they essentially don't have to practice to know he can go out and play on Sunday. So, yes, they should proceed as if Landry Jones is going to be the quarterback, because it's far more important to get Landry Jones ready in the event Ben can't play than get Ben ready in the event he might be able to play. So just cross your fingers, hope it's Ben. Status quo, if not, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant are benchable. Le'Veon Bell is not. You can't bench Le'Veon Bell.
All right, how about another pleasant surprise from a wide receiver, and that was the rookie Stephon Diggs in Minnesota, 7 for 129 with Teddy Bridgewater quarterback, the Vikings. You know, he had a big game 2 weeks ago, then they had their bye, comes back, still a big part of the offense. How much are you buying Stephon Diggs?
I'm slightly. He's probably the most exciting waiver wire option this week, in a week of very unexciting waiver wire options. My issue, Bo, is that Teddy Bridgewater hasn't been very good. This offense,
no, he has not.
It's been the passing offense is just, oh my god. When they pick up a first down through the air, you're excited about it. Teddy Bridgewater has taken a step back this year, or maybe more accurately, hasn't taken the step forward that we were hoping for. I think Diggs is fine. Most of the time, though, I think you're picking up a guy who's going to be part of a lineup question. And if that's important to you, if you want to get depth at receiver, by all means, do it. Stephon Diggs was an explosive, productive playmaker at Maryland. He had the best game of any Viking receiver this year. Charles Johnson's been banged up. He's been MIA even when he was on the field. So I think Stephon Diggs is absolutely a worthwhile pickup, but I'm not blowing 50% of my waiver budget on him.
Fair enough. All right, how about you mentioned it earlier, but the big game from LeGarrette Blount comes at the expense of not a big game for Deion Lewis. How are you shaking out the Patriots' backfield moving forward?
It's still Deion Lewis's backfield. A couple of things, Bo. Number one, Deion Lewis still played more snaps than LeGarrette Blount. Number two, they had the lead in the second half, which is Blount territory. Number three, Deion Lewis came into the game with an abdominal injury. For all we know, he made it out no worse for the wear, which is phenomenal. That's what you want, like to see. He's still one of the most balanced, efficient players in the NFL. Bo, among running backs with 50 or more touches, nobody has averaged more fantasy points per touch than Deion Lewis. He's, in my opinion, a very high-end number two running back. Most likely, he's the best running back on your team right now if you play in PPR. So I'm not sweating Deion Lewis at all. This was just one of those games. And if you can buy him low, I would consider that an opportunity.
Okay, how about elsewhere in New England? Bill Belichick saying there is a good chance that Brandon LaFell returns to practice this week. He won't be playing, of course, but on the verge of returning probably in the next couple weeks from the foot injury. What do you make of Brandon LaFell? Is he worth a speculative ad if he's on the waiver wire?
Yeah, absolutely. And look at the targets that the Patriots were giving to Keyshawn Martin on Sunday night's game. Is that a guy you really want touching the ball, getting all those targets down the field? Keyshawn Martin is getting those targets pretty much because he's had to. And I'm not excited about that prospect going forward. I think those targets down the field will go to Brandon LaFell when he returns. So Keyshawn Martin, not a guy I'm very excited about. Brandon LaFell, he's had a very nice year last year. I think he can come in and be a number three receiver for you. Personally, I would prefer to add LaFell than Stephon Diggs. I just want the guy in the better offense playing with the better quarterback, a guy who has a track record of production. If he's not playing this week, you got to sit on him a little bit longer. That's okay. I would just rather have LaFell for the stretch run than Diggs.
All right, last one here from the news section, Joe. All indications from Dallas after their bye week that Christine Michael is getting the first team reps at running back and will have a chance to potentially have that audition to maybe run with that job against the Giants. What do you make of Christine Michael?
I'm putting in a waiver claim for him if I haven't already. I think a lot of people, I think the Christine Michael waiver claim period is past. It was last week. But I'm going to give him a shot, Bo, because it is very evident that there is something that the Cowboys don't like about Joseph Randall. Even with Lance Dunbar going down, Joseph Randall hasn't topped a 42% snap share this year. even though he's been productive, I don't think they trust him. I don't think they trust him to do the right thing. Remember, they benched him after scoring a touchdown because he jumped over the pile and nearly fumbled the football. And while it was called a touchdown because he broke the plane, they weren't very happy after it. So they benched Joseph Randall after that. I believe that was in the Saints game a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I'm going to take a shot on Kristen Michael. You're going in blind. There's no track record of production here. Michael is always – we've always said, ooh, this is the year for him in Seattle, and it never came. Seattle, despite not having great depth at the running back position after cutting Robert Turbin, traded Michael to the Cowboys. So they don't think they're going to miss him. They have Thomas Rawls now. You have to take all these things into account. But you also know the Cowboys are probably going to have a better offense because Matt Castle's going to be better than Brandon Whedon, at least somewhat. Dez Bryant could be back soon. So, yes, I'm going to take a shot on Kristen Michael. Am I putting him in my lineup this week? I don't know if I can do that, but I will be taking a shot on him. And if my running back position really stinks and you want to throw him into your lineup blind, fine. If he gets 10 carries and he gets an opportunity to bust off a run, he's going to come through for you. So I'm very interested to see him this week.
We have heard about the Kristen Michael breakout coming for so long now. If it doesn't happen over the next couple of weeks, then I just don't want to hear about him anymore. But yes, I agree.
If it comes out and he plays like 5 snaps this week, I think I'm done with him because it's clear that he's not doing something right in practice and he couldn't get on the field in Seattle. And the question was, is he not getting on the field because of Marshawn Lynch or is he not getting on the field because he hasn't earned it? And so far, you can honestly say he hasn't earned more playing time. Let's see what happens after the bye, though.
All right. Well, speaking of potentially being done with people, Joe, I got a little new segment here for you, okay? I'm trying to think of a name. Let's call it Walk the Plank. I'm going to give you a list of guys, and you're going to tell me they're at varying degrees of disappointment. You're going to tell me whether if you own these guys, you're going to make them walk the plank, whether you are finished with them. All right. Let's start with the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning. Are you making Peyton walk the plank?
Yes, I am. And as much as it pains me to say that, I mean, he's probably my favorite football player of all time. I think he's 1A, B, C, whatever, with Brady, Montana, and all the greats. I don't buy the rings argument.
Bradford.
Go off of what I see. Peyton Manning. yes, of course. Peyton Manning is not a guy I want on my fantasy football team right now. Full stop. I'm making him walk the plank. I don't want him on my team anymore. You can find better options on the waiver wire. Like, look what Josh McCown did. Look what Brian Hoyer did last week. Are you kidding me? Peyton Manning hasn't had a game like that this year. So, no. Peyton Manning, John Hansen ranked him 20th this week, and that was probably too high. That's an example of the way Peyton's playing. Bo, he is averaging 17.3 fantasy points per game. Just 2 seasons ago in Denver, he averaged 31.1, nearly half of that production right now. It is brutal for Peyton Manning. I don't want him on my team anymore.
All right, let's stay in Denver. In the backfield, CJ Anderson, is he walking the plank?
Yep, done with him too. Now, Ronnie Hillman, people seem to think Ronnie Hillman's this big-time star. As we discussed, Bo, a couple weeks ago, he hasn't been great either. Now, he finally had a consistent game. First time in 6 weeks that the Broncos had a consistent performance from one of their running backs, but he outplayed C.J. Anderson. Yeah, C.J. Anderson is completely droppable. If you want to hang on to him and have him on your bench, I'm okay with that, but he's not a guy I'm starting with any level of confidence.
Okay, how about another likely first-round pick at running back who has been a bit of a disappointment? Eddie Lacy in Green Bay.
I'm not ready to walk the plank with Eddie Lacy just yet. Maybe that's me being naive, but it is very evident to me he is not fully healthy. Mike McCarthy admitted it, and this is an example of the pitfalls of fantasy football, and not even DFS can save you from this. DFS is usually people who prefer DFS usually tell you don't have to worry about injuries with DFS, which is true to a large extent. But here's a perfect example. Justin Forsett came into this week, Bo, questionable with an ankle injury. He was a game-time decision. He played 81% of Baltimore Ravens' offensive snaps and touched the ball 24 times. Eddie Lacy wasn't even on the injury report. Even though he's had the ankle and has been clearly hobbled by it, and he's had it all taped up on the sidelines, as the beat writers have noted, he came into this game not even on the injury report, played like 35% of the snaps, and got 6 touches. You're not going to tell me Eddie Lacy's fully healthy. Now, the problem is James Starks has come out and he's performed well. And Mike McCarthy's saying, you know what? We don't need to rush Eddie Lacy. We don't need it. We're going to split the touches. That said, I still want Eddie Lacy when the weather gets cold playing in an Aaron Rodgers quarterbacked offense. This is a very flawed Packers team. I think they need to run the ball more. And as good as James Jones has been for fantasy, Bo, I'm going to flat out tell you something. With Randall Cobb hurt, and he's clearly been hurt too, their receivers kind of stink. Let's call a spade here. They stink. James Jones doesn't get open. Aaron Rodgers makes him open, and that's good. That's great for James Jones. He scored another back shoulder touchdown this past week.
Yep.
But they don't have any consistency on their offense, and eventually they're going to need it, and I think Eddie Lacy, if and when he's healthy, is the best option for that. So, like, I don't know what you do with Lacy. You can't drop him. It's ridiculous. You can't do that. He has a track record of success. So this isn't like C.J. Anderson, who did it for 8 games last year. This is a guy with a track record of 2 seasons worth of success. You also, what are you going to do? Trade him? What are you going to get for him in a trade? That's my question. Now, if you can get something great for him, by all means, do it. But he's probably a guy you just have to hold on to at this point.
All right, we continue to talk about sort of varying degrees of disappointment here. So let's start on the top end. A.J. Green, not a great week, 4 for 36. Are you making him walk the plank as a penned in every week starter for you, or do you consider benching him occasionally?
Nope. He's an every week starter. A couple bad weeks, Bo, not freaking out about it. I mean, look at this.
Their offense is just so good that it's going to be cyclical a little bit.
The problem for him has been a lack of touchdowns. 7 for 82 in week 4, 6 for 78 against Seattle in week 3. All right, not huge games, but if he has a touchdown in either one of those games, that's a huge game for fantasy. This week, 4 for 36 against Buffalo, good secondary, Stephon Gilmore, Darby, the rookie corner, he's had a nice year. The problem with Green is he's had one huge game, and it was against the hapless Ravens. The Ravens right now, by the way, might be the one defense you want to attack the most with passing game options. They are abysmal. He's had one huge game there. But other than that, no, I can't freak out about A.J. Green. I think his Andy Dalton's playing too well. This offense has been too good. I think A.J. Green's big games are coming.
Okay, similar question with a slightly lower-level player. Are you making Melvin Gordon walk the plank as an every-week start?
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in Melvin Gordon. He doesn't look good. He's not producing well. He's fumbling. He has 4 fumbles this year, Bo. Let me do a quick tally here. He has 4 fumbles on 91 touches. He got benched this past week in his hometown game, his homecoming game in Wisconsin. Yeah, Melvin Gordon isn't the guy I want nothing to do with right now. He's the second best fantasy back on his own team. You can argue Brandon Oliver came in and played better than Gordon has this year. So this has been disappointment. Unfortunately, the fears I had about Gordon preseason have come to pass. I thought in week 1 and 2, he looked really good. And I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe I underestimated him. Turns out my initial fears were confirmed. This is not a good start to the career of Melvin Gordon.
And Danny Woodhead is a better player right now. So, I mean,
yes,
it's not like he's being unfairly buried. So
no, Danny Woodhead's better. Phillip Rivers trusts him more. That's why Danny Woodhead's playing more.
Okay. All right. If you listened to the podcast last week and went out and spent a bunch of money on Sharkandrick West and you got 9 carries for 33 yards and a catch for 6 yards, are you going to make him walk the plank?
It's tough to say that because if you got him, and I did in a league, you probably spent a significant portion of your waiver budget to get him or a high waiver priority. So I don't want to just flat out drop the guy. The problem was he fumbled. And Bo, I think this is a question that needs to be asked. Has the game of football passed Andy Reid by? I'm just like, it is amazing how that guy seems to scheme away from his best players. It's unbelievable to me, and it's been a problem even when he was having success in Philadelphia. And Travis Kelce is an afterthought. Yep. You have, I mean, not saying Charkandrick West is one of his best players, but they didn't even try to run the ball. Smith is limiting this offense. It's a really bad offense right now. I'm fine with benching Charkandrick West for sure, but I think you probably spent too much on him to just out and out drop him. Might as well at least see what happens in a game in which the Chiefs actually can move the ball with some level of effectiveness, which they couldn't do against Minnesota.
Okay, if you, for some ungodly reason, still have Victor Cruz on your bench, are you making him walk the plank?
If you, for some ungodly reason, still have him on your roster, not at this point, am I making him. If you've held on to him to this point, might as well wait and see what happens when he comes back. It's very evident to me, Bo, that the Giants need him, even a 70% Victor Cruz. Did you watch that game against the Eagles last night?
I most certainly did.
They have nothing. I mean, it's bad. They have Odell Beckham, who was hobbled last night. Reuben Randall, in my opinion, is a guy. I think Larry Donnell is horrendous. No offense, Larry, if you're listening, but I'm just trying to call it like I see it. Doesn't it seem like Larry Donnell has one of those inexplicably bad plays every week where he just let D'Amico Ryans take the ball away from him? Like, he seems to have one of those plays, if not multiple of those plays, every week. And they need Victor Cruz. Whether it's a guy at 70% or not, we know with looking at James Jones in Green Bay, what a receiver who has chemistry with the quarterback can do. And I think Eli, aside from last night, in which he was consistently under siege, has played pretty well this year. If you've held on to Victor Cruz to this point, I don't see a reason to drop him now. It looks like he's getting close to a return.
All right, last one, Joe, before we get to the hashtag Ask Guru questions. If you are the owner of the Tennessee Titans, are you making Ken Whisenhunt walk the plank as your head coach?
Yes. Full stop. But, Bo, it's not like, hey, in what, the last 3 years, we've seen a young quarterback who was forced to play hurt have his career ruined. When's the last time that happened? Oh, wait. It happened in Washington. So, no, it's an absolute joke. And, look, here's the deal. Marcus Mariota, I'm sure, wasn't held up at gunpoint and say, you're going back in this game or else. But this is when somebody who has to lead a team, whether you think you're going to have a job next year or not, says, okay, Marcus, sit your ass on the bench. You are hurt. You are not moving well. You weren't playing great in the first place. You've been hit 100 times in this game. Go sit down. We're putting Mettenberger in the game. And we'll reevaluate you after the game. This is not your fault. You just took a bad hit, and we are trying to protect you. The fact that Marcus Mariota went back in that game is indefensible. Indefensible. Ken Whisenhunt has won like 4 of his last 50 games as a head coach. The guy should be fired right now, and I can't believe he hasn't already.
This happens all the time in sports, right? But the conflict of interest, you cannot have a coach who is coaching for his job, who is all he's trying to do is to win now, protecting or in charge of the future of your franchise. You can't have Ken Whisenhunt deciding the future of Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota is all the Titans have to hope for their next, I don't know, 8 years maybe. Ken Whisenhunt's not going to be there for when he's good. Newsflash, okay? He stinks. So they got, entered the season as the head coach is mind-boggling enough that he even got to run the draft. But, to bring in Marcus Mariota and make him run Ken Whisenhunt's offense is a stupid thing to begin with.
It's ridiculous.
Let's just get him out of there.
You're absolutely right, Bo. And the thing is, you see it all the time because the teams that are in position to draft these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks, inevitably are going to either have a coach on a hot seat because they were terrible last year or else they wouldn't be in a position to draft these quarterbacks, or they have new coaches. My opinion is this. Unless you just had one really, really bad year with a guy you know is a proven winner at the head coach spot, and you're just like, all right, he just had a bad year, and we're sticking with him, and we're going to extend him. If you're going to be in a position where you're going to draft a quarterback in the high, high first round, you should, I agree with you, you should have a new coach come along with him. There needs to be a level of patience here. And Marcus Mariota, Bo, this was my concern when they drafted him. I thought he was the best player in this draft. I would have taken him number one overall. However, my concern was he landed in the absolute worst spot with a coach who's going to get fired, a team that has no idea what to do with him, and he's going to be broken before he even has a shot to realize his potential.
I think that's close to correct. I think that he will overcome. I believe in Mariota the player, but it's not going to be under this regime. All right, let's go to the hashtag Ask Guru questions, Joe. And we will start with KAlex17. Would you rather Bortles or Tyrod Taylor as your QB1 for the rest of the season? And if you are in a short bench league, would you keep the other choice on your bench? Would you keep both?
No, I wouldn't keep the other choice, and I feel better about Tyrod Taylor simply because I think he's been making fewer mistakes, Bo. It always feels like Bortles has been good, and you know what? He makes mistakes, but he's a quarterback, Bo, in his second season, and if you'll remember, last year the Jaguars didn't even want to play him. Of course, Chad Henne was bad enough that they're like, all right, we've got to go with Bortles, but they didn't even want to play him. So ideally, this would be his first year even playing, and he's made strides. He's developing. Is he still making terrible mistakes? Yes, he is. But it does feel like on a game-to-game basis, he's a lot closer to unraveling than Tyrod Taylor is, and that's why I would rather have Taylor rest of season than Bortles. Pending health, you have to keep an eye on Taylor's health. And in this situation, no, I would not keep the second quarterback, not in a shallow bench league, because I think there's a good chance you'll be able to go out and pick up Bortles when you need a quarterback anyway.
My conflicting argument would just be that all else being equal, if the Bills had their druthers, they're not running the offense through Tyrod Taylor. They're running it through the running game, whereas the Jaguars are going to be behind a lot. They're going to be forced to be passing a lot. So Bortles is going to sort of have that manufactured production. But I think Tyrod's legs give you enough to make up the difference, and I would rather have Tyrod Taylor. All right, Johnny Utah wants to know, should he drop Matt Jones for Theo Riddick in a PPR?
I still believe in Matt Jones, if only because I am getting so sick and tired of watching Alfred Morris fall forward for 2 yards every time he touches the football.
I think we have this conversation every week, and I don't disparage us for it, because it is it's just unbearable to watch Alfred Morris carry the ball.
Yeah, if you need to use one of these guys, Riddick is the more usable player. And
I think that's right.
Amir Abdullah's got to hang on to the football, or he's not going to play. As much as I love Abdullah, this run game's still a disaster. And Riddick has a role here, and it's as a pass catcher, and he's catching a ton of passes. I believe he leads all running backs in receiving. So the more usable player is Theo Riddick. I still think Jones is a worthwhile stash in the event Jay Gruden figures something out and just puts Alfred Morris on the bench where he should be. But I think Theo Riddick is the more usable player. So if you need a guy who's in your flex spot, or is at least in the serious conversation for your flex spot, I would make this move.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. All right. Sean Danowski at Sleevy D wants to know, he is considering offering Demaryius Thomas to receive Antonio Brown in a PPR. Should he try it?
Yeah, I would make this trade. But once again, Bo, these are the type of trades I hate. What's the point of making this trade? And I think the argument you're going to make, if you're the Demaryius Thomas owner here, is I've seen Peyton. He ain't getting better. Brown's value is low, but only because Ben Roethlisberger's not playing and Ben Roethlisberger's going to play. So if you're asking me which side I prefer rest of season, it is Antonio Brown. But at least note this, no receiver is targeted more per snap than Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, that counts DeAndre Hopkins, who is on his pace to a historic target season. No receiver is targeted more per snap than Demaryius Thomas, which means when Peyton is under siege and he's throwing the ball, he is looking for Demaryius. So keep that in mind. He's still getting a ton of targets. He hasn't scored touchdowns because the offense stinks. But I would rather have Antonio Brown, but Demaryius is managing to not be affected by how poor the offense is.
I also don't see any way that this trade offer is accepted, especially considering the timing with the Broncos on their bye. But that's a question for another day. It's Jay Hathiril, Hathiri, something like that, wants to know, in a keeper league, who would you rather have long-term, Lamar Miller or Doug Martin?
Both of them. Here's the irony here. Or not the irony, but the interesting part of this. Both, I believe, are in contract years. Both may be better off getting far away from their current situations. I think I'd rather have Martin, but it is very close, and that is a really difficult question. Here's the issue with this is you have to project that these guys are going to be in new spots. And I think Martin just has a more balanced skill set, allowing him to be a more productive full-time back than Lamar Miller. I do not feel good about this answer, but I think I'd rather have Martin.
This is a really tough one. I think I would actually rather have Lamar Miller. I just think he's a little bit better, but that's
he's explosive.
That's completely subjective. Okay, Dennis Sheffield. So I guess we didn't really help Jay out a little bit. Whoever he trusts more, which should be you. Dennis Sheffield, out of Cam, Tannehill, and Bortles, which two would you be most comfortable going forward for the rest of the year? Well, obviously Cam is in the mix here.
Obviously Cam, because Bo, I think right now Cam's the MVP of the league. I think he's playing the best football of his life right now.
He's playing very well.
You know what? Let's just go with Bortles. I think because Cam's the guy you're going to start. Bortles has been the guy putting up the big numbers. So while I'm still positive about Tannehill's the rest of season, I'm going to go with the guy because you have Cam, who most weeks is going to be your starter anyway. Might as well go with the guy who's shown the upside to be a fantasy star in Bortles. So those are the two I'd pick.
Okay, Mike B wants to know if you should drop Rishard Matthews for Stephon Diggs.
I don't know what that move gets to. I think Minnesota is a little less crowded. I think they need playmakers, and Stephon Diggs gave them that. I think I'd probably rather have Diggs rest of the season, but Rishard Matthews is producing pretty consistently. That's a guy you can plug in to your flex spot in a PPR and say, you know what, he's probably not going to have a huge game for me, but I can expect 12 to 14 points. So if it's like your last bench spot, might as well shoot for the upside with Diggs, but I don't know why you need to make this move.
A similar question from HHFF1012. Who would you rather have, Stephon Diggs or Marvin Jones in a PPR?
Marvin Jones, not even close.
I agree. Mike at One Fund Man wants to know, he already has Gary Barnage, but should he drop Martellus Bennett for Julius Thomas?
No. It's just, this is a lateral move to me. So no. Okay. I would not drop Martellus Bennett.
Stephen Baloney wants to know, hashtag AskGuru, should I trade Dante Moncrief or Steve Smith for Jeremy Hill in a full-point PPR?
I would assume you're doing this because you need running back help, and if that's true, the answer is yes, and I'd trade Steve Smith before I trade Dante Moncrief. I think you can argue Dante Moncrief's the best receiver on the Colts. Actually, I think you can make that argument very easily right now. I like T.Y. Hilton a lot, and he's a great fantasy option, but I think you could very easily say Dante Moncrief is the more balanced, more prototypical NFL receiver. So I would definitely make this move, but I would trade Steve Smith.
Okay. Michael Griffin has a question, half-point PPR. Should he trade Antonio Gates, Doug Martin, and Brandon Cooks for Randall Cobb and Justin Forsett? He has Tyler Eifert, so he's not playing Antonio Gates.
Okay,
but
so he doesn't need Gates.
Right.
Who do you feel better about? I think Martin and Forsett is a toss-up for me. I think I'd lean to Forsett only because he's the better option. The Eifert part of this equation actually makes this a little bit closer than I thought, Bo. Because I think Randall Cobb is going to bust out of this. I think he's been playing really hurt, and the bye is coming in a perfect week for him. You know what? I'm going to flip.
He's getting the best player in the deal.
After talking myself through this, I actually like this deal, and I would take the Forsett Cobb side. I think it's a fair trade because for the other guy, he's probably getting Gates, a guy who's going to start every week at tight end. So I think it's a fair deal, and I think given that he has Eifert, I can make this trade.
Yeah, this is a good one. I like this one. He's getting the best player in the deal, and the other guy gets a starting tight end. Makes sense. All right, B. King wants to know, should he cut either Andre Ellington or Chris Johnson? He has to cut one of them. Who should he cut?
Has to cut one. I would personally rather cut Chris, but
yeah, that me is too.
My full admission that I don't like Chris Johnson.
I watched that game, Joe, and Ellington looks better than Chris Johnson to me. I think it's going to be 2 weeks from now, we're going to look back at the first half of the season and laugh about Chris Johnson being the lead back.
Okay. I'm with you. I don't like Chris Johnson. I've seen the smoke and mirrors act from him before. I would rather drop him. Yeah, I agree with you, Bo.
Tommy Corbin, do you trade Ronnie Hillman to get TJ Yeldon in a PPR?
Yep.
Yes.
I'd rather have you. And once again, another one of those deals. I hate these position for position trades because they're 55-45 at best. And I think a lot of it is just completely dependent on luck who wins the deal. But I'd rather have Yeldon, who I think is the foundation of the Jaguars rushing offense. I know it hasn't been great so far, but look at how badly they struggled to run the ball against Houston without Yeldon in there. So I would rather have Yeldon.
All right, another similar trade offer to the one we talked about before. Breon was offered Emmanuel Sanders for Travis Kelce and Eric Decker, but he already has Tyler Eifert.
You know what, Bo? I think Eric Decker gets a complete lack of respect. This guy just makes plays every week. And maybe the difference isn't as big as you think it is. Emmanuel Sanders right now is 11th in fantasy points per game at the receiver position. Eric Decker's 19th. It's not that big. Eric Decker scored in every game this year. If I'm making this deal, I think I want a more reliable receiver than Emmanuel Sanders. I am very concerned. I would try to shoot higher. It's a fair deal. And if you want to pull the trigger on it, I'm fine with it. But
get more for Kelce and Decker. I think that's right.
I'm concerned about this offense. I'm really concerned about it. By the way, just note, you're not going to have Emmanuel Sanders this week.
Exactly. All right, Taylor Timmons. Two questions from Taylor, so I'm only going to pick one. Let's not overload the podcast here, Taylor. He's got Eddie Lacy, Frank Gore, and Justin Forsett at running back. Good enough to get it done or make a trade. Okay, this is a bad question. I'll answer the other one. Stafford Bortles combo, good enough to get it done. If not, who's a QB to target in a trade that won't break the bank? These are open ended questions, Taylor. Hit me with a yes or no or who should I drop? Come on.
I think Stafford and Bortles is fine to get it done, personally.
I think so too. Okay, A-bomb, drop Matt Jones for Charles Sims or hold any hope in Matt Jones? What do you think?
Here's the deal. I think right now Sims is a more usable fantasy player.
Yeah, this is similar to the Riddick question.
So if you need Sims and you need a guy who's going to be a PPR flex for you right now, then yeah, I'd make the move. But if this is your fifth running back and it's not a guy who's even in the conversation, I think Matt Jones's theoretical ceiling is higher than that of Charles Sims, if that makes any sense to you, Bo. Because if they figure something out with Alfred Morris, I think Matt Jones becomes their top back, and he and Chris Thompson could have a really, really nice kind of balance in that backfield. So if I'm holding this for upside, I want Jones. If it's somebody I need now, I'll take Sims.
I agree. Speaking of which of these three waiver claims has the most upside? James Starks, Stephon Diggs, or Marvin Jones?
Marvin Jones has the most upside, in my opinion. Now, it's also...
What if Eddie Lacy is really injured?
Then it would be James Starks. If you really need the running back help, then Starks in theory has the upside, because if Eddie Lacy is badly hurt or they don't think he's any good, the problem then James Starks becomes the starting running back on an offense quarterback by Aaron Rodgers, and that inherently has the most upside. So if you, I think the clearest path to relevance belongs to Marvin Jones. If you need a prayer shot at a number two running back, I think James Starks gives you the upside.
Dave Williams, would you rather have roster Devontae Adams or Brandon LaFell?
Brandon LaFell.
Okay.
No, full stop.
I like that. Robert Tibbett, PPR League. Should I trade Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray for Brandon Marshall and Mark Ingram? He needs a wide receiver one.
No. Not even close. Devontae Freeman's – maybe Devontae Freeman and DeAndre Hopkins are the two most valuable players in fantasy right now.
But no, do you really think that Devontae Freeman is going to remain one of the most valuable players in fantasy?
Yes. Have you watched him? I mean, I know a lot of this is based on touchdowns, but man, Bo, he is their offense right now. He's been more important than Julio Jones, who's been hobbled. No, see, here's the deal. If I am selling – so wait a minute. It was Devontae Freeman and who?
Latavius Murray.
No way. No, this is way
I don't like this trade either, for sure.
Oh, my God, no. Like, I'd be, know what I would do? I would try to trade Latavius Murray for a receiver who's been disappointing right now and maybe has a shot to be a number one. But right now you have arguably the best player in fantasy. I think I was looking at, Bo, I was looking at Twitter, and it's either the FFPC or the NFFC, High Stakes Fantasy. 9 of the top 11 teams in the main events have Devontae Freeman on them. That's ridiculous. That tells you this guy is carrying some of the best fantasy teams on the planet right now. And trading him for Brandon Marshall, as good as Brandon Marshall has been, is just not something I'm willing to do.
Yeah. Okay, Ali Tariq, which of these tight ends would you like best in a non-PPR? Larry Donnell, Eric Ebron, Ben Watson, or Kobe Fleener? Those are some ugly options.
Eric Ebron. You know, Bo, he was a top 10 tight end option in his first 3 full games, and that offense finally showed signs of life. I want Ebron in this group. I don't think Larry Donnell, as I talked at the top of the show, is any good. And Kobe Fleener is inconsistent. Ben Watson, I think that was a total flute game. Good for him.
Yeah.
But I want Ebron of this group.
Okay, Patrick K, as we begin to wrap up, 2 more or 3 more. 10-team standard keeper league, should I trade Latavius Murray for Eddie Lacy?
I would, yes. I'm not convinced Latavius Murray is that good. Yeah,
I agree. I agree with that. Chris and the Raiders have shown that they are not in love with him. Chris Lopez, this week, along with Gurley, he needs a running back. Do you go Frank Gore or Latavius Murray?
Okay, let me take a look at the Here's the problem with doing this on Tuesday sometimes, Bo, is I haven't even actually, like, taken a great look at the schedule yet.
I don't let have – yeah. By Thursday, I have every matchup in my head, but it's too early to have
Saints,
them all. Yeah.
The Colts get the Saints, which is a glorious matchup. And Latavius Murray gets the Chargers, which is a phenomenal matchup. I'm going to go with Latavius Murray, only because I'm less worried about the options behind him than I am about Ahmad Bradshaw with the Colts. But this is incredibly close. But I'll go with Murray in this matchup.
Okay, last one from the listeners. Max Burnett, should I trade Gary Barnage for Ben Roethlisberger? I have Witten as my other tight end and Bortles and Tannehill as quarterbacks. I think that is an absolute no-brainer.
I wouldn't do it. I don't like trading.
You wouldn't do it?
No. Look at what Barnage is doing.
Barnage has been great. Barnage has been great, but he's been too good. I mean, he only had 3 catches this week, and 2 of them were touchdowns. I think I would do this one because you're gonna be thinking about playing Witten anyway. When Romo gets back, you're gonna play him over Barnage.
Well, not if Barnage is keeping this up. Now
he's not going to.
Let me just be honest with this. I hate trading for quarterbacks. That it is a personal philosophy. I hate trading a real asset for a quarterback, even one as good as Roethlisberger. But I just hate doing it. That is clouding my judgment here. I just wouldn't make this deal because I think a Tannehill-Bortles combo is fine. It's not ideal, but I think it's fine. And you bring Ben Roethlisberger into that. He's probably your starter, but there's no guarantee he's going to be better than those guys any given week. So,
no, but then you open up some. But then deal. you open up some roster space because you're going to play Ben, so you can drop both of those guys and fill out your bench with a little bit more upside guys on the other positions.
Yeah, I just hate.
I don't like trading
guys.
For quarterbacks either. I don't disagree with that, but I mean Gary Barnage has been great, but this is just a fluke. I mean,
he's really athletic.
He is, and he's also 30 years old. And this is the first time he's ever been relevant.
Fair enough. I just do not like the quarterbacks.
Okay, that's fair. We'll let who was the listener here? We'll let Max Burnett make up his mind then. All right, Joe. Last question from me. I got the Broncos on a bye this week, and so my team with both Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders needs someone for the flex. And I'm going to have to pick somebody up. So these are the options on the waiver wire. Who do you like best? I could pick up Delanie Walker, who's playing the Falcons. Tavon Austin, who's playing the Browns. Michael Floyd, who's playing the Ravens. Or Stevie Johnson, who's a little bit injured and playing Oakland. Or Terrence Williams, who's playing at the Giants.
I would love to see Terrence Williams here, but I'm not convinced Terrence Williams is any good.
Or Stephon Diggs. Do you trust Stephon Diggs?
You have Michael Floyd playing the Ravens.
Yeah.
I'd point the Ravens and go with Michael Floyd. I think that's the matchup to attack. I'd go with Floyd because I think that gives you – he should have had two touchdowns this week. So
he should have had three touchdowns this week.
I guess that's fair, too.
I was just watching that game. Finished watching that game, too. Yeah, should have had three touchdowns. Only had one, so. And the one he did catch was deflected. All right, Joe. Well, that was a fun 57-minute run there for the hashtag Ask Guru podcast. Jeez. All you listeners, remember to use the hashtag Ask Guru for asking us our questions. And I had a wonderful time. I hope you did as well, Joe. And for managing editor Joe Dolan, I am Bo Wolf, and we will talk to you next week.